Welcome to the Slapdash Song Night podcast, episode 2, recorded on March 2nd, 2014. I'm Kira Daly, your host and friend on the interwebs. And I've got to say, I am really sorry for being so far behind on posting these shows online. I am working on it, I promise. Now, just a note for our international listeners, in our Cover Me Bro segment in this episode, we mentioned someone named Ray Martin. He was a host of a not necessarily reputable nightly current affairs TV program, sort of, I think, in the 90s, maybe early noughties, if it went that far, and he was renowned for his immovable hair. I also have to point out that we had a few technical issues in this show, which meant I had to cut a few songs, which meant it made some slightly awkward edits, including the glaring omission of Pete's entry in the songwriting challenge. So yeah, if anything sounds a little strange or missing, that is why. We had a rebellious DI box. Now, speaking of awkward, I have a drinking game for you for this episode. Take a sip every time someone, mostly me, says yay. I've really got to stop hosting like I'm on the Muppet Show. Yay! It's either the Muppet Show or like Oprah. Oprah! Yep, I'm working on it. Nonetheless, our guests, you can always rely on them, and they were delightful. So please enjoy Slapdash Song Night Episode 2 at the Movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the Record Craving Glebe, welcome to Slapdash Song Night. Please welcome to the stage your host, Kira Daly.
Yes, that's me. That's me. Oh, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Slapdash Song Night. Our theme tonight is At the Movies to mark the 86th annual Academy Awards appearing tomorrow night. Is anyone excited about that? Some people. Excellent. That's probably roughly a good size of the demographic. There are certain things movies can do, certain choices they can make to improve their chances of an award or a nomination. And I'd like to look at some of those now. Meryl Streep's in a rage, down in August a sage. At least she's not 12 years a slave. And the Academy digs American Hustle's wigs, Wolf of Wall Street for its drug-induced rave. And the lines start to blur between computers and her. Include nods or aids to win fans. But an exceptional case came from outer space.
Space,
and
space,
this is how
space.
Gravity ran. With some science fiction. Oscar baiting. High stakes drama. Not much mating. See George and Sandra. Suffocating. Is she on Earth yet? Not still waiting. In a movie that's shorter than it seems. Don't wanna go. No. Cause in space, no one can hear you scream. Thank you, and thank you, and welcome. We have an excellent, excellent lineup tonight. What's our motto at Slapdash Song Night?
Singing, sing, talky, talk, drinky, drink.
Excellent. And tonight we will be singing, singing, talky, talking, and drinky, drinking with me and Dr. Paul Geddes. The cast of improvised musical Blank the Musical. Bryce Halliday. Peter Led. If she makes it on time, Courtney Powell. Yay. And the cast of Drowsy Chaperone. Yeah. Very exciting. But first up, we have a wonderful singer, songwriter, comedian extraordinaire, wielding a banjo. Please welcome to the stage, Alice Fraser.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Good.
don't worry too much about this. It's nothing. It's just a necklace. I made it myself out of a banjo. No, it is movies night tonight, and it made me think, when I was thinking about what I should sing on this theme, I was thinking, I went recently for a date to the movies, and the guy, I don't know, I have this idea that we should, people stay in relationships too long, and I think you should probably break up a lot earlier than that, like when you reach peak romance. Like, you know, where it's like you're standing on top of the cliff and he kneels down and offers you a ring and you're like, oh my God, I think this is the best it's ever going to get. Then you high five and leave. Like, he's there still on his knee. Can't we wait to the birth of our first child? No. Anyway, so I tried to tell this to a friend of mine. Well, not a friend of mine, a guy I've been seeing. Well, a guy, I've been seeing him. He hasn't been seeing so much of me. And it came to a head about a week ago. We just catch the same bus, really. But I sit very close. And I love him. And anyway, so it came to this head, and I was there, and he was there, and he turned to me, and he said, "Who are you?" So I took my cheek off his chest and came out from under his T-shirt. And I said... I'm the best stalker in the land. Oh, I'm the best stalker in the land. I'm marauding and bordering on getting restraining ordering. I am the best stalker in the land. There are just no words to say what I want to express. There are just no words to say what I want to express. Does it still count as assault if I'm wearing a dress? You'll never know that from the shadows I am watching you. Well, obviously now I told you, you do. I will always be listening when you are talking. I will be three steps behind wherever you are walking. I'll replace your grandpa clock and stand the corner ticking. And I'm the girl to call if ever your face needs a licking. I'll stare in your window while you are sitting. I stapled a love note onto a dead kitten. You would have found it lying on your doorstep today, but I forgot to kill it, so it ran away. I'll call you at 3 a.m. when you're alone, yeah. I'll be all creepy and breathe down the phone. Unless it's past your bedtime or you're feeling sleepy, how about call me back on a landline? It's expensive to be creepy. I'm the best stalker in the land. Oh, I'm the best stalker in the land. I'm threatening, pants wetting, I'm damp palms and upper lip sweating. I am the best stalker in the land.
Oh, pull up a pew. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too. Yay.
Alice did our very first run of Slapdash Song Night back at Sydney Fringe last year before it was recorded and podcasty. In fact, it's kind of still before it's recorded and podcasty right now. It is recorded, it's just not podcasty. Yeah, I haven't edited anything yet. Shh. Oh, that's meta. Because by the time you're listening to this... That was your brain. Anyway, I'm monologuing.
It's How good. I enjoy your monologues. I'm just an appreciative audience member.
Aww. I called you up on stage to be my audience.
That's what I want to be.
Amazing. How are you? I know last time we were discussing your second show.
Yes.
Which was a fascinating tale about your legal years.
This is my second show. It's called Everyone's a Winner. The prize is death.
Yay!
Which is about why I left the law firm. It's interesting. I say it's interesting. It should be funny, but it's interesting
funny.
At least.
It is. It's hilarious and it's interesting because the corporate culture element, you wore a flower in your hair, for example.
Yes. So the whole story is sort of based around this incident that happened where I walked in on my first day of work and I had a frangipani behind my ear. I didn't think anything of it. But 3 weeks later, I was introduced to someone and they said, "Ah, the girl with the flower."
Ooh.
What?
Yeah, exactly. And it was just this whole encapsulation of that this whole weird corporate behavioural thing where everyone's self-policing and everyone does just like slightly less, fewer things are acceptable than the person who's in the rank above them, so you get this kind of babushka doll kind of narrowing of
behavior.
It's sort of very depressing and weird.
Which makes for great comedy.
Great comedy. And sort of I talk a bit about all the fun comedic elements of legal life, like high rates of suicide and depression.
Yay!
Awesome.
Fun times.
Yeah.
What are you working on now? Are you working on new stuff or...?
It's the show now is that show with a little bit about like what it is. I guess the core of it is how do we define success? Mm. Like what is it to be successful? What is it to be successful as a woman? Or what is it to be successful in business or in life? And, you know, in the end, we're all going to die. So maybe you should
What's
just...
What's the point?
You know, exactly. What is the point? But actually genuinely asking that question, not in a kind of a sad
way. But as in a reflective way.
A reflective way and hopefully a funny way.
I saw the very first incarnation
of
the show.
Yeah, when I was still reading it off the computer.
No, you're reading off a laptop precariously placed on a music stand.
Yes.
Fact.
That's true. I like to live on the edge, you know.
And so was your laptop.
Exactly.
It was emblematic of the clash of the two worlds, technology and music.
It's a very easy way of bringing tension into the room to balance an expensive piece of hardware on like a very fragile
I have to say,
base.
My butt was clenched watching that.
What I go for.
That's it. Edge of your seat.
That's
Edge
my goal in seat. Comedy.
That's awesome.
Making and people deeply uncomfortable.
Boop. You missed my nose.
No, I was just being polite.
Oh, okay.
It's like when you kiss your thumb when you're kissing someone's hand instead of kissing their hand.
Is that polite or is that I don't want your germs, I want my own?
I don't think you can assess people's internal monologue when that's going on. I think you just have to take it for what it's worth.
Very good. And on that note, I think we're time for another song.
Yay! All right.
Please thank Alice Fraser.
Thank you. All right, guys. I'm not sure exactly what song I should sing, so I'm going to make you guys choose so that you have to live a life filled with 50% regret. You will have missed something that could have been amazing. So would you like to hear a song about plastic surgery or a song about robots? Okay, round of applause for plastic surgery. Round of applause for robots.
Yeah. Look, because it is movie night, I'm going to have to say plastic surgery. We're going to see lots of it on the red carpet tomorrow night.
Okay, so, I mean, I worry about all this girl stuff and these ideas that we have that everyone needs to look perfect all the time. And, you know, I'm not immune to these things. I read women's magazines. I read the Scientific American the other day and I learned that the earliest known primate weighed less than a golf ball, which is an interesting fact. And I read that and I thought, oh my God, can we stop with the unrealistic body expectations in magazines? Because this is stressing me out. But I'm not immune. I bought a pedometer the other day. And apparently I've passed 2,375 pedophiles. Which is more than I expected. They hide themselves well, usually in positions of power. But this is about a particular kind of woman. My parents live in the eastern suburbs and you see these women in the shops and in these cars. They drive very big four-wheel drives. They have very big lips and very small frames. I once actually asked a South African guy why they drove these big four-wheel drives. I was like, is this a holdover from being in the savannah and being on safari? And like, is the big lips a thing? Like if you get attacked by a lion, you drop the lips and run away like a lizard. Is that... But he said... In any car accident, the smaller car comes off worse. And I don't expect my daughter to drive responsibly. So this is an experience that I had in Woolworths in Double Bay. Oh, I saw a fair maiden as I walked the other day. Yeah, she stood in line in front of me at Woolworths Double Bay. Her straight hair was so blonde, her trendy jeans fit so well. Then she turned me a face like a corpse out of hell. Oh, she looked like she'd been dug out of a Scandinavian bog. Yeah, the Tolland man had nothing on this petrifying log. Oh, her eyebrows were the victims of an ancient Aztec curse. And her skin looked like someone had fried a leather purse. her face was so still, but her eyes gave silent screams. Yeah, she'd used the blood of virgins in her skincare regime. It looked much like somebody had given her ponytail a twist and then just kept on twisting till her hair looked like this. If I saw that fair maiden down at Woolworths, I would say, "Excuse me, ma'am, I did not intend to cause offence in any little way. And I didn't mean to knock all of the Botox from your eyes with my violent reaction of vomiting surprise." With my violent reaction of vomiting surprise. Thank you very much. Thanks,
Alice Fraser. Next up, please welcome to the stage, Blank the Musical! Yes!
You guys had a show last night.
Yeah. Yes.
And you're doing it monthly now.
It's brilliant timing to come and push a show that we did last night.
After the fact. But no, it's early PR.
The doctor can come.
Sorry?
The doctor can come when he hears about this. I'm going to shut up.
I was a doctor. Okay. I was imagining. Morty. You've got to get in the DeLorean. This is not how he talks. I don't know. He sounds like Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Hey, Rocky, why'd you pull a rabbit out of my head?
Pull a DeLorean out of my ass. Oh, the wing doors are open.
But yes, we are doing shows every month, the first Saturday of every month at the Roxbury Hotel.
Excellent.
I think is the point we were trying to make.
Yeah. And the way you guys work, well, the way we used to work, I used to be one of you.
You act like we kicked you out.
Yeah.
I know.
You quit.
I know. When I did.
You left.
I quit because my brain exploded. It did. It not literally, obviously.
You can come back anytime you want.
She's doing it again. Stop.
There it goes.
Years of therapy.
But the way you guys work, you get one word.
Yep.
And you improvise for an hour.
Yes.
Ooh.
So we create. Yeah, we take the different inspirations from the word and create multiple storylines, and then we usually, thanks to one talented person. Who's no longer in the cast, we'll bring them all together.
They don't mean me, by the way. They mean Bridie Lee Kennedy, right?
Yeah.
She's the one that was quite skilled at tying the narratives together.
Because I would always start a narrative in a different time period just to fuck with people and go, let's see how this comes together.
And it would normally be something semi-racist also.
I'll bust up your shipper robe! I have a selection of characters, none of which are white or Anglo-Saxon. But they're all very carefully created.
They are. They are respectful. They are respectful.
I've been to Japan. I've watched Django and 12 Years a Slave. I've got plenty of research. They're not the same character, by the way. Just in case you're imagining. It's like the Black Samurai.
All the same.
Yeah. Whereas I try to play nice, palatable characters just to counteract that.
Wieners. You played a wiener character.
Yeah, I played that. Yeah.
Interestingly, and this is something, when you come to the show, you can watch out. If Tim starts as a nice character, just generally, for structural reasons, we'll just make him an asshole by the end.
Because if you start nice, you got nowhere to go but down.
Exactly. So that's why I always start as
an asshole,
racially questionable character that can redeem themselves by the end.
Not that
they need to, like, because they're completely legitimate.
This is going so well. No.
And if Tim and I are in scenes together, generally,
you set yourself
on
fire.
That I kill him or I kill myself.
But by setting yourself on fire,
yeah, there was self-immolation.
That has been a plot line several times. It's amazing where the mind goes in improv.
I have another character to play.
Managed to stop John using formaldehyde to suffocate other characters on stage.
I forgot about the chloroform.
He stopped doing that. You can't see it on the podcast, but he just mimed it again.
We all kind of just mimed that again.
It sounds tasteless, but it's not always. Sometimes we get sweet words.
No, sometimes we get really sweet moments.
Last night was all love stories.
Yeah.
It was. There was some friendship in there. There was
a South African
guy who wanted to shoot people with a bow and arrow.
Bit of a Hunger Games theme, yeah.
Yes, okay, yes, sure. And Bryce, for you as Muso, improving Muso, I'm making you talk.
I know, I was going to interrupt and be like a Paul Schaefer, but I kind of hate him, so I try not to do that.
Look at what you
have. And for you, you draw inspiration just from the mood of the scenes that'll inspire your choices of genre as you go?
Mm. Yes.
Great. Glad I solved that one. Anyway. Talk us through. What is it like for you as a musical improviser going from style to style on the fly? Like, what's going through your mind?
Usually, I'm kind of treading the line between trying to kind of set up something that the improvisers can follow, so something that's somewhat repetitive, but also trying to feel when that's been going on too long and then how to kind of take that to somewhere else, if that makes sense.
Or you stop playing. That's what you did last night.
Yeah.
I'm done with this scene. Just like that. Or you can do what Tim does side of stage. Wrap it up.
Yeah, okay. Well, I do direct a little bit. I'm sorry.
Well, Tim is the director.
I had no idea that you do that. I really don't. I really don't.
That explains so much, John.
And on that note, please thank the cast of Blank the Musical. One more song, please, sirs.
All right. So one little cheat I guess we do use in the show to get ourselves into songs is we look for the title line of a song in a scene. Someone will say something, we'll be like, yeah, that's the title line of that song. So again, keeping with the movie theme, what's a famous movie quote that would inspire a great song?
You shall not pass.
You shall not pass.
Hey, lovely scene.
Nice. So this is going to be the You Shall Not Pass.
You shall not pass.
You shall not pass.
Foul demon thing. You were born in the dark. But I have a ring, you shall not pass.
I will drag you down with me.
Really?
Guide you with my tail.
I will change your color.
Till you come back again in the sequel.
You shall not pass.
Nobody knows what happened.
With my sword and my staff, I've lost my hat. But I'll still kick your ass. You shall not pass.
I will live here forever, safe on my own. I don't need to pass, Mr. Gandalf. Let me say one last thing.
Yes.
You may have taken me down, you may have made me kiss my ass. But anytime you want, you can pass.
You can pass.
You are the Lord of the Rings. You can do it.
And Bryce Halliday. Yes, please stay here. Please stay with me, guys. So now we come to a regular segment, a second of two. This is a segment called Cover Me, Bro! Wherein I cover, or somebody, but tonight it's me, covers a song that someone has found among the records downstairs. So now we're going to come to the one that we were meant to do tonight, which is a song called Ray Martin Has a Shed Full of Giant Robotic Killer Wasps by Nancy Vandal. Aussie punk band. Tim, have you got that queued up? Yeah, we'll just hear a sample.
original. And tonight, Bryce and I are going to do a cover of that song. And just hope for the best.
Oh boy.
Here we go. Smile and Lego Man hairstyle make you the darling of the brain dead rank and file. But look out, I'm about to expose your evil little game. Ray Martin has a shed full of gigantic Britain. Oh, damn it. Ray Martin has a shed full of giant robotic killer wasps. Ray Martin has a shed full of giant robotic killer wasps. Yay! Your self-righteous facade has to be fucking large to shield the mutant horror lurking in your garage. But look out, I'm about to expose your evil little game. Ray Martin has a shed full of giant robotic killer wasps. Ray Martin has a shed full of giant robotic killer wasps. Ray Martin has a shed full of giant robotic killer wasps. Ray Martin has a shed full of giant robotic killer wasps. Robotic killer wasps. Robotic killer wasps. Accurate affair! Thank you, we'll see you after the break! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of Slapdash All Nerds! That was a good start. Do you all have a good break? Yes. I love it when hosts ask that question. Do you have a good break? Yeah. What else are you going to say? It was shit. It was shit. Oh, no. Well hopefully we can cheer you up. We're going to cheer you up with our theme song. What's our motto at Slapdash Song Night?
Singy, sing, talky, talk, drinky, drink.
Yes, keep it in mind. Here we go. A 1, 2, 3, 4. Doesn't have to be perfect, just has to be done. If it's rough around the edges, that's half the fun. And it better be fun at our Slapdash Song Night. Gave us a deadline to give us a fright at our Slapdash Song Night. Singy, sing, talky, talk, drinky, drink, alright.
It's time to play the music, dance your cares away.
You're not the boss of me now, so we're doing it our way. Slap solo! At our Slapdash Song Night, gave us a key change to give us a fright. At our Slapdash Song Night, singy, sing, talky, talk, drinky, drink. Singy, sing, talky, talk, what's our motto? Singy, sing, talky, talk, drinky, drink. All right. Sha la la la. Thank you, Peter Led on guitar. Right, so did we find any interesting song titles for next month's Cover Me Bro? We have a hand up just there, yes?
Yeah. Andreas Vollenweider.
Andreas Vollenweider.
From the album Down to the Moon.
Down to the Moon.
And the name of the song is Hush Dash, Patience at Bamboo Forest.
Hush Dash. Patience at Bamboo Forest. Okay, so keep that in mind. Bamboo, I guess, yes?
I got Dave Ball in Strict Tempo, that's the album.
Dave Ball in Strict Tempo.
Passion of a Primitive.
Passion of a Primitive, yes, another one.
I have an album that has two possibilities.
Okay.
I believe it's self-titled. It's called Gay Bikers on Acid.
Gay Bikers on Acid,
but the
self-titled.
Gay is spelled with an E, so it's G-A-Y-E.
Right, so it could be Marvin Gaye.
It could be a lady by the name of Gay with
the
E.
There were two tracks that interested me. The first was called Space Rape.
Space Rape. That sounds charming.
The second was called TV Cabbage.
TV Cabbage. And we had another one for the. Oh, okay. Forfeiting already. Excellent. And then there was one up the back.
Country and Western Million Sellers is the name of the album.
Country and Western
Million Sellers.
Million Sellers.
S-E-L-L-E-R-S. He doesn't have a million sellers. But it's Rich Lindsay, and the song is I've Got $5 and It's Saturday Night.
I got $5 and it's Saturday Night. All right. So we've got Bamboo Forest, Savage.
Passion of a Primitive.
Passion of a Primitive. Space Rape and
or TV Cabbage
and I've got $5 and it's Saturday Night. On the count of three, say one of the words that you remember. 1, 2, 3.
Space Rape.
You people are terrible. You went for Space Rape. Jesus. Alright, who at Space Rape was by Gay Y.E. Cowboys
on Ass.
Oh, bikers on acid. Yours are gay bikers on acid. All right. Well, then it looks like you're the winner. What was your name?
My name is Shannon.
Shannon, you are the winner of a double pass to next show. Please, round of applause for Space Rape. Good
In
God.
Space, no one can hear you give consent.
And now we go to hell. Thank you. Now we go down to the moon. Right? Yeah, nice one. Thank you, Peter. Excellent. So that will be our Cover Me Bro for next month. We are on the first Sunday of every month. Now, we have a songwriting battle. Yeah, yay. So Pete and I decided at the start of this year that we would challenge each other to write a song a month. And we would do it on the theme of each show. And so the theme being at the movies, we have both written a song on that theme. I do a show called Lady Nerd that looks at famous and not so famous lady nerds throughout history that have made a dent in the world because of their nerdiness, their obsession with ideas. And one such lady nerd is a movie star, and her name is Hedy Lamarr. Does anyone know Hedy Lamarr at all? Yes, amazing actress of the golden years of Hollywood, the studio system, at the height of the studio system. And she is also co-inventor of frequency hopping technology that you use in your cordless and mobile phones and in Wi-Fi as well. She had this amazing mathematical brain but did struggle to be taken seriously. And so that thought kind of makes me wonder, you know, what if there are movie stars now that struggle to be taken seriously? Yeah, I kind of wanted to look at that question and specifically at Hedy Lamarr, and I've written a song, the style of which is kind of somewhere between an up-tempo Counting Crows number and, I don't know, douche rock, like Creed. here's my take on that. And Pete, very kindly, is going to join in with me as well. Oh, and I'm going to play a little bit, and I haven't done this in front of people before. As well, so thanks. Condescending.
Way to win over an audience,
Kira. I know, right? I know. Look, we're all friends here, aren't we? Yeah.
Literally.
We were. So, I'm sorry. Losing friends and infuriating people. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Samson and Delilah is a pretty bad film, but at the time it was the fancy work of Cecil B. DeMille. Hedy Lamarr, but that movie star, she made a name by looking pretty and standing still. She was nothing more than a pretty face. Why would anyone care what she had to say? She was nothing more than a pretty face. She got a break in a black and white film. It was edgy and a little bit rude. She made faces that were deemed taboo. She was the silver screen's very first nude. But in her spare time she indulged a side of a mind that very few people knew. She had a knack for math, she had a head for facts. She was an inventor through and through. But she was something more than a pretty face. But nobody cared what she had to say. She was something more than a pretty face. That phone you hold in your hand don't need a cord, thanks to her. All our information is airborne, thanks to her. Movie star kleptomania is also a thing, thanks to her. Long before Winona Ryder, Hedy Lamarr loved a five-finger discount. And Winona Ryder didn't invent shit, as far as we know. They're all nothing more than a pretty face. Why would anyone care what they had to say? They are nothing more than a pretty face. Thank you, me at peace. Next up, we have another guest. She is a jet-setting singer-songwriter extraordinaire. She writes cabaret, she writes music theatre. She's performed in the UK and the US and here. Please welcome to the stage the lovely Courtney Powell!
Hi everyone, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for vamping forever. I've been teaching school kids all day how to do this in Beauty and the Beast. So judge away, because I would if I was watching me.
They suffered through my like totally inept hosting just then and through the whole night, well, so they're going to be super forgiving.
Well, if they
aren't you? Aren't you lovely?
So I do a comedy show called All the Men We've Never Slept With, and my cabaret partner is a lovely lady named Bridie. And we
actually, I should interrupt here. This is the same Bridie that we mentioned before that ties all the loose ends of Blank the Musical together.
Yes.
Small world.
Well, I'm really glad that you said that, because she ties in all my shit comedy together. So where I sort of have drawn my link to at the movies is when you see a great comedy or a great drama and the same actors continually appear together, like, I don't know, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck or some other guys, you know, you get really distressed or really upset when they're separate or well, their stuff is usually much shitter. I'm not with Bridie tonight, so I'm the bits that you try to avoid. That movie is so good, it just transfers straight from high school stage to this. In the all the comedy songs that we do in our show, they're all together. So I'm doing the two unfunny songs myself. So the first one is called All the Men We've Never Slept With. Well, All the Men I've Never Slept With. And we often make jokes in our show that they're going to make a movie about me to match the 40-year-old virgin, but for me, because the premise of our show is that Bridie likes to explore sex in a very active way. Thank you. She'll say it herself, you asshole. We wrote a show about it. Whereas I am a virgin, so that's where the comedy comes in. Feel free to laugh and not feel awkward about that. So this first song, is our opener to our show. Here we go. All the men I have never slept with.
I'd like to tell you fairy tales, start with once upon a rhyme, but happily ever after is only the end part of the time. Baby, quite work out the way you'd intend. There should have been, yeah, there could have been, there would have been. So let's wait and see. The men I've never slept with. You might, I might have a song. I might have a song about you. Now in this next bit, there's a whole bunch of comedy where I usually call Bridie a slut and she calls me a Madonna, and I've changed all those words for tonight, so they're less funny, but you can laugh anyway if you want, I guess. While we're all getting much closer, you should know what I've got in store. I try to cover all bases, whether your tastes are Madonna or whore. That's Bridie. It's not hard to give it all too soon. We all give in to what we crave. But I'd rather a long list of misses than a couple of trysts, so you'd better behave. There the shoulda been, there the coulda been, there the woulda been, so let's wait and see. I missed him, I only kissed him before I set him free. If you're a guy I didn't get with, and I swear there are a few. One of all the men I've never slept with, I might have a song. This might be a song about you.
Courtney Powell.
Oh. It's really hard without her.
I've seen this show. I've seen this show in Edinburgh, and it's a fascinating show because you actually get the audience to confess to who they didn't sleep with, right?
Can we do that now?
All right.
Okay.
All right. So this will be our talkie talk segment.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so there's a part in the show. We get right to the middle. Bridie and I have told a bunch of really embarrassing stories about sex, not having sex, almost having sex, the weird bits, you know. And there comes a point where Bridie asks everyone to close their eyes. So please close your eyes. I'd like you to think of the name of a person who you've never slept with, who you've never got a chance to sleep with, but you really wanted to. So just think of their name and then think of the reason why. Okay? Open your eyes. And then I get to pick someone. I've never gotten to pick anyone before. I pick you with the great beard.
Oh, thanks.
Hi. Sorry. Sir, thank you for participating in this hilarious experiment. Hi.
Hi.
What was your name, sorry?
Christopher.
Hi, Christopher. Nice to meet you.
Meet you too.
Hi.
Pull up a pew. It's like Oprah now.
So what's the name of the person who you wanted to sleep with but never did?
Her name is Jane.
Her name is Jane. And why didn't it work out?
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, this was a school crush.
Yep.
That started in year four.
Oh, that's inappropriate.
But who I ended
Wait,
up...
Wait, is she still in year four now?
But who I... She was 1 year below me. But and who I ended up taking to my school formal.
Aw.
Yeah.
So did, well, I, how well, did you screw it up? I mean, how what happened?
Yeah. No kidding. How did I screw it up? I got horrendously drunk.
Oh. I hope you weren't still in year four.
No, this was year 12 formal.
Okay.
I got horrendously drunk, and when someone pointed out that the date that I had taken to this formal, her, was making out with the school jock, the high school football fuckhead.
Yeah, fuck you, fuckhead.
I tipped over a table, walked over to him and beat the shit out of him, and then got dragged out.
Revelation!
That is amazing.
The teacher who saw the whole thing said that the first two punches that I managed to get in were the best two punches she'd seen in her life.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
violence.
Triumph over the jock. It's like a movie.
Yeah, and then we ended up being picked up by my parents and going home in the car together while I was rubbing her leg, and she was pushing me off. Incredibly drunk. So yes, yeah.
Wow. So did you speak to did you speak again?
No,
after
never
this
again.
Incident?
No.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. No, she's married with a kid now. So. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's
it ended well for her, so that's, you know.
Hey, you beat up a jock for her.
I did.
I mean, who needs a well-balanced relationship anyway?
Round of applause for Christopher. That is a story. Thank you. So you've had a lot of such stories. But how many years have you been doing that show now?
Our third year.
Wowee. And yeah. Finally in the homeland,
yeah.
But in that time that you've been doing the show, there must have been some crazy stories, right? Is there one that stands out?
We get, I don't know. Like, there's been a bunch of really freaky ones that they sort of go away because we get some wackos at these shows. But
because it is a late night show,
it is
also,
late,
so you can imagine late night in Edinburgh. You can imagine some of the audience. But the time I was there, it was kind of like an Oprah confessional. People kept once a couple people put their hands up, then more and more people were putting their hands up and all wanted to tell these stories of heartbreak and unrequited love, and it was really quite sweet.
Well, yeah, because the people get quite nervous. I don't know, if I ever tell them about that section before they come to see the show, I think they sort of, like, their answer might have been, Angelina Jolie, because she's a celebrity, like, you know, like, kind of plan these funny ideas. And but then it just never happens. I think we've had one or maybe two people like list it, like have a gag, or try and have like a gag joke. But other times sometimes they're really heartbreaking, and I don't really know what to say, so I make Bridie answer it. But like, it's like, they're just really beautiful. Like, we've had a couple of criers, and then I'm like, back to the comedy song about syphilis that's next. Yeah.
Break the tension with an STD. Yeah. That's good. Also, you have written a musical?
No, I co-wrote one with this guy, Joe Kiley, who's directing this musical that I'm doing, which Jackie was in at the beginning.
One of our audience.
Yes, a single audience. Like, it was Joe's idea, and we rewrote it and took it and did it off Broadway in New York. And then
Crab House.
Yeah. So, like, Little Shop of Horrors meets Sweeney Todd. But no legal debacles.
Yay!
We also have the rubber chicken or whatever that was.
Please thank Courtney Powell. You can catch Courtney and Bridie, all the men we've never slept with, sometime in April.
Yeah.
Yay!
And we'll be releasing our album, and I'm releasing an EP, so...
CourtneyPowell.net, correct?
That's the
info there.
Thank you very much.
Now we're going to call a new guest to the stage. Our final guest for the evening. Isn't that exciting? Please welcome to the stage the Sydney premiere cast of The Drowsy Chaperone.
Hello, hello. My name is Richard Woodhouse. Over there on the lights is Stephen Kramer. We are playing the vaudeville duo, the Tall Brothers, in the Sydney premiere of The Drowsy Chaperone, which explains this ridiculous mustache I've got on my face. We were thinking of songs that would fit in with the theme, the Night at the Movies theme, and we thought there's only one real vaudeville-themed movie that's still relevant, and that's Chicago. So thankfully, Paul and I have already performed Mr. Cellophane before, so here we go. If someone stood up in a crowd and raised his voice up way out loud and waved his arm and shook his leg, you'd notice him. If someone in the movie show yelled fire in the second row, this whole place is a powder keg, you'd notice him. And even without clucking like a hen, everyone gets noticed now and then. Unless, of course, that personage should be invisible, inconsequential, me. Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, should have been my name, Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there. I tell ya, Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, should have been my name, Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there.
Suppose you was a little cat residing in a person's flat who fed you fish and scratched your ears. You'd notice him. Suppose you was a woman wed and sleeping in a double bed beside one man for 7 years. You'd notice him. A human being's made of more than air. With all that bulk, you're bound to see him there. Unless, of course, that person next to you is unimpressive, undistinguished. You know who. Should have been my name, Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there. I tell ya, Cellophane, Mr. Cellophane, should have been my name, Mr. Cellophane, 'cause you can look right through me, walk right by me, and never know I'm there. Never even know I'm there. Hope I didn't take up too much of your time.
Oh, it's always such a heartbreaking song, that one. Because he's so lovely.
Yeah, I am a bit.
Aww. So it's good to see you guys, and welcome back Dr. Paul.
Yeah, Paul Geddes on the piano.
Who is also musical director of The Drowsy Chaperone. And you, Richard, you've worked on a couple of Squabblogic shows.
Yeah, I was in Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson, which mm-hmm. was a fantastic experience.
And a totally different, musically yes. totally different show from The Drowsy Chaperone.
Mm. So we've got vaudeville style here, and then punk rock over at Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. That was... very different style.
Punk rock, American yeah. anarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
historical
fun.
Anarchy. Yeah. Yeah. And both yeah. very fun. And Drowsy Chaperone, super fun show. Who knows that show? Anyone know that show? Kick ass,
thank
huh?
you, the two of you.
the two enthusiasts, the two music theatre nerds in the house. So you guys open in a couple of weeks. How's it going?
Good, I would say. We've just been rehearsing for 2 weeks, which is crazy because we're in the theatre pretty much every day rehearsing, so it feels like we've been rehearsing for a really long time. But and you know, the cast morale is great, and you know, everyone's got a great vibe there. But
and you're rehearsing in the new Hayes Theatre as well, yeah. which is very exciting.
It is. It's a fantastic venue, and to be rehearsing in the venue that you perform in is great. And we get to see the Sweet Charity set every day. So
yeah, yeah, with that, those neon lights. Yeah,
we it's are girls, girls, girls at the moment.
We're thrilled to be the second production,
mm.
Coming off of the sellout Sweet Charity, and of course Squabblogic's last production, the sellout Carrie the musical.
That let's, did sell out.
Let's
yes.
hope that trend continues.
Yes. And so, who do you guys play in Drowsy Chaperone?
Yeah. So we are the Tall Brothers, John and Peter Tall.
named, suitable names.
Yes, we were named. We were Jewish immigrants named at Ellis Island by a sarcastic immigration official. Yeah.
It's a confusing one because we're these Jewish immigrants that were renamed as the Tall Brothers, became a vaudeville duo, and now we're playing gangsters disguised as pastry chefs.
Like five layers.
So we have so many layers to play on. It's great fun.
Because Drowsy Chaperone is someone narrating a story. Tell us about the layers of the show.
Well, so it's basically there's a guy kind of introduces you into his apartment, and he puts on his favorite record. You know,
records, they're coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right, we're at the record crate. So Analog lives.
Yeah.
Just.
And then he talks you through this ridiculous bunch of characters that are at this wedding in this show, and it is really, really funny. So.
And I believe, I mean, you guys are quite young, so you must have had some supervision to get here, right? Like you must have had a chaperone. Sorry. I'm sorry.
She's actually here if she wants to come up. Where, yeah. is that, where's our chaperone?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I hope she
the
hasn't...
The chaperone's here?
I hope she hasn't had too much to drink.
I actually have. Well, I was getting a bit relaxed and enjoying the show. Sorry, darling.
Well, I hope you could still, you know, provide us with...
I don't usually drink before I... Seriously? This is true. But I'm good.
Well, could you still provide us with some words of inspiration? Is that...
as we stumble along on life's little journey. As we stumble along into the blue, we look here and we look there, seeking answers anywhere, never sure of where to turn or what to do. Still we bumble our way through life's crazy labyrinth, barely knowing left from right or right from wrong. But the best that we can do is hope a bluebird will sing his song as we stumble along.
That was lovely, Chaperone. Thank you. But I just see how that relates to this conversation.
It's a dismal little world in which we live. It can bore you till you've nothing left to give. 7 overrated wonders, 7 underwhelming seas, 6 excruciating continents, Antarctica. Oh, please.
Antarctica, oh, please. I love that.
Still, you mustn't let it lick you, this planet, oh, so bland. Keep your eyeball on the highball in your hand. Oh, there's the spotlight. As we stumble along across life's crowded dance floors, as we push and we shove, we live and we learn. And when we finally leave the bar, that morning star, we pull our bootstraps up and homeward turn. Then we stumble away through dawn's blinding sunbeams, barely knowing right from right nor left from wrong. But as long as we can hear that little bluebird, there'll be a song as we stumble along, as we stumble, bumble, fumble, blumble, as we
Chaperone. You can get all the details of that at squabblelogic.com. Thank you very much. Thank Richard you. And Stephen, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And now we're going to end with a sing-along. Everybody up on their feet. Yes, as is tradition here. Second of two. Yes. Now, if you don't know the words to this song, just make some animal noises. King of the swingers, not that kind, the jungle VIP. I've reached the top and had to stop, that's what's bothering me. I wanna be a man cub and stroll right into town and be just like the other men. I'm tired of monkeying around, so ooby-doo, I wanna be like you.
To find out more about the acts featured at Slapdash Song Night, please visit ladynerd.com.au. Spoiler alert, that's me, Kira Daly, Lady Nerd. Surprise! See you next month.